You're listening to Feathers, a podcast of stories about God speaking and his people having just enough faith to believe him and obey. I hope these stories inspire you and encourage you to take flight in your own faith. I'm your host, Amy Bennett, and this is episode 8. Hey guys, and welcome back to Feathers. I'm so glad that you are here. Today we have Donna Jones. Donna is a national and international speaker who's traveled from coast to coast and to four continents, helping women find and follow God in their real everyday lives. The author of four books, including Seek, A Woman's Guide to Meeting God, and Raising Kids with Good Manners, Donna has been featured in magazines such as Parents and Better Homes and Gardens, as well as numerous radio and TV shows, including an upcoming interview on Focus on the Family. Donna makes her home in Southern California, where she lives with her pastor hubby, JP. They have three wildly funny, passionate teenage and young adult kids who they love to pieces. And guys, it was such a pleasure to talk to Donna. You can tell that her faith is hard-earned, and she's really had to step out past fear and anxiety and really saw God be faithful on the other side of that. So I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation with Donna Jones. Well, hey, Donna, and welcome to Feathers.
Thank you so much, Amy. So glad to be with you.
So why don't we start out by you introducing your family to us?
Well, my name is Donna Jones. I'm married to my husband, J.P. Jones, which stands for John Paul Jones. So that's why he goes by J.P. He is a pastor of our church, and we have three kids. Taylor's our son, and Kylie and Ashton are our daughters. They're all like college age and recent college grads, that kind of late teen, early 20 time frame. And we have lots of fun together.
And you guys just went through, just experienced the wedding. Is that right? Of one of your children?
Yes. Yes. Our daughter, Kylie, she's 23. She graduated from college last year, and she got married at the end of February. So it was very exciting and just more fun than I would have even ever anticipated. We had a blast planning her wedding, and it was just the most spectacular day. So, yeah, it was great. Everything we prayed for and more.
Yes, my sister just got married in October, so we just went through wedding season ourselves, and I have two girls. My girls are 10 and 12 now, so we have a little while to go, but, you know, it's coming up sooner than we think.
Yes. I know, 10 years goes faster than you think.
Yep. So you are on West Coast, right? You're in California?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so I have never been out there. So if I wanted to go out there and make a trip of it, where would you recommend we start?
Gosh, California is one of those great states where you really can't go wrong. You know, Northern California and Southern California are totally different. San Francisco in Northern California is one of my favorite cities in the country. It's great. But in Southern California, we live in Orange County, San Diego is gorgeous. And then just north of San Diego is Orange County where we live. That's where Laguna Beach is. And then, of course, LA County is north of us. So there's lots to see out here.
So can't go wrong. That's good to know.
Can't go wrong.
All right. So today we are going to jump into your story, just talking about faith and a story where your husband, JP, actually changed jobs and went through some health issues and just learning faith through that despite some fear and anxiety. So can you just take us back to the beginning of that story and share?
Yeah, it was the hardest season of my life, and of course the season that I grew the most, and in retrospect kind of shaped, in many ways shaped who I am as a person. My husband was the teaching pastor of a large church here in Southern California, and the senior pastor had retired. My husband was approached, you know, whether he wanted that position or not, and he really took it very seriously. So he spent about 6 months praying about whether he should step back into senior leadership of the church. And once he determined that was what he wanted to do, the leadership of the church had kind of taken a turn, and they decided that maybe that wasn't what they wanted. And so we kind of found ourselves in a situation where we knew we were going to have to make this job change. And it was kind of took us by surprise. And so, you know, we loved our church, and you know, anybody who's involved in a church knows that that's, if you work at a church, it's not just your place of employment. It's also your family and your mm-hmm. place of support. So when you're faced with leaving that, it's just sort of a double-edged sword, because not only is your husband leaving his job, you as a family are leaving your support system.
Yeah, I just actually heard an interview with, do you know Shauna Nyquist?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, she was just on an interview talking about that when she left, and she said it's not just it's job, it's like your whole identity, because it's your calling mm-hmm. and your job, and it's all wrapped up together.
It is, she is exactly right. So there's like a deep, it's multi-layered. You know, it's a transition on every layer. A person can have a transition, just emotionally, financially, professionally, spiritually. I mean, it just is the whole ball of wax. And in the midst of that, it kind of obviously sent us into a season. We were like, okay, well, what's next? You know, God, what do you have for us? Which every one of your listeners can relate to. We all go through a season, you know, starting from when we graduate from high school. You know, what's next? What's your will for me? And it really just never stops. And so we began, you know, really praying and thinking about what would be the next season of our lives. In the midst of that, my husband, who's this athletic guy, went on a bike ride, and he woke up the next morning and he could barely get out of bed, and his back went out. And so six weeks went by, and, you know, it wasn't any better. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, you know, these back issues, they tend to get better on their own. And my husband said, well, while I'm here, I have this freckle on my thigh. Why don't you just check that out? My wife's been bugging me about it. So the doctor removed it, and he's like, it's no big deal. And 2 days later, we get a phone call from the doctor, and the doctor, you know, asked me if my husband was home. And I said, no, you know, no, he's not. He's at a lunch appointment. And he said, well, I need to speak with him immediately. He has melanoma.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So my husband was diagnosed with melanoma. And so we went through that, a season of that, and then he ended up having to have back surgery a week before Christmas, and the back surgery went wrong, and on Christmas Day, he had a major event with his back surgery, and then he had to have a second back surgery, and it ended up in ICU for 7 days.
So the back surgery was like totally separate than the melanoma. So he had like two issues going on.
Yeah. So it's
oh my gosh.
Lord, what are we going to do? We don't know, you know, we don't know what your direction is for our lives. And then it was this melanoma issue. Then it was the back issue. Then it was the back surgery that went wrong. He landed in ICU. I mean, Amy, if it was literally, there's not a cell in my body that was not touched with some hardship, heartache. You know, it's physical, emotional, spiritual, professional. I mean, just everything just caving in at one time. And so in the midst of this, of course, you know, we're praying and we're seeking the Lord's will. And my husband was contacted by several churches that, you know, were interested in him becoming the senior pastor. And so, of course, you know, you explore all opportunities, and we visited these churches and candidated, and but didn't feel, you know, a clear sense of peace about that. I mean, there were wonderful congregations with wonderful people, would have been great opportunities, but just didn't sense God's leading. And in the midst of this, my husband decided to go on a fast and to pray. And both of us had fasted and prayed like, you know, 24 hours. This was not something that we had done over a long period of time, but, you know, we'd fasted and prayed occasionally just for, you know, for one day type of thing. But he decided, because we were in such a situation where we were just desperate to know what God's will was, that he was going to go on a 3-day fast. And so at the, and he really wanted to seek the Lord, you know, what would you have for me? Now, one of the things that he was considering, and it was a very remote possibility, was planting a church. And this was not anything that we had ever thought about doing, that we ever had a desire to do. Some people, that's their passion. It was not our passion at all. It was nothing that had ever even been on our radar screen and or that we had considered. And yet it seemed to be through a series of circumstances, something that we felt like, well, maybe this is something we should at least consider. God seemed to be directing people, you know, didn't even know each other, out of the blue, kind of saying, hey, I think you should start a church. Have you ever thought about this? And there was just some series of kind of unusual, slash miraculous events that made us think, well, maybe this is something we should at least consider. So my husband decided to go on this 3-day fast. And of course, you know, I'm home. And at the end of the third day, he walks in from work. And I can't wait until he walks in. I meet him at the door. Okay, what did God say? Did you know, surely God told you what we were supposed to do. And he just looked at me and he said, Donna, no, I don't know. I don't know what we should do. I have no more clarity than I did 3 days ago. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to fast and pray another day. And I said, okay. So at the end of the fourth day, of course, he came home from work and I met him again at the door. Okay, you know, what did God say to you today? Did God reveal what you think we should do? And he said, no, Donna, he didn't. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to fast again. So the same thing happened day 5, day 6, and day 7. And Amy, at the end of day 7, I looked at my husband and I said, honey, what are you going to do? And he said, Donna, I am going to fast and pray until I either have a breakdown or a breakthrough. He fasted and prayed for 10 days, 10 days with only water. He only drank water.
That is insane. I've only done that for one day, and I was so weak the next morning that I couldn't even hardly move. I cannot imagine 10 days.
Okay, I know. And think about it. This was a man who'd been kind of beaten down, you know, professionally,
yes.
A man who'd been beaten down physically because of the melanoma and the back issues. So we're talking somebody at the bottom of just their own resources. And then you add the, you know, just the fasting. I mean, it was just a sight to behold.
He must have been like a shell of a man at that point.
He really
was. Gracious.
He really was. And I remember Amy praying about this. And at one point, and you know, you've been there. All of your listeners have been there. Every once in a while, there comes a season into our lives when we're just desperate. I mean, we're just desperate for God to show up. And we're desperate for God to speak. And you know, it's like, Lord, I'm listening. Why are you radio silent? What are you doing? We really desire to know your will. And at one point I was praying and I was literally laying down on our bedroom floor. I was face down. And the interesting thing, Amy, is a number of people, as I mentioned before, had kind of felt like, I think you're supposed to start this church. Well, Amy, I didn't feel that way because to me, you know, we have 3 kids. It's one thing to start a church when you're 20 years old and you're newly married and you don't have any kids, or, you know, maybe you have one baby and you don't have a mortgage payment. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, not a big deal. You can always, you know, you have time. But at this point, you know, we have 3 kids. We have a mortgage. You know, our kids are all in elementary school, middle school. We had an early high school age child. And so, you know, we had college tuition looming in the future. You know, this wasn't, starting a church wasn't something that we did, you know, on a whim, because we had everything at stake, everything. And so I was laying on my floor face down and I just said, okay, Lord, other people seem to be getting this vision for our lives.
But don't you love that?
Yeah, exactly.
People say, I think God said.
God loves you and I have a wonderful plan for your life. Kind of a thing.
That's great.
And, you know, and I remember praying, God, it would just be so great if you would tell me your plan for my life, our lives, because this is my life we're talking about. So if you could make me as confident in this as you seem to be making other people, that would just be awesome. And Amy, as clear as a bell, the Lord just said to me, no, I want you to stop asking that I'm going to reveal what your husband should do to you. Just stop asking it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of floored me. And then the next thing the Lord just kind of spoke to my heart was, because Donna, I'm not teaching you about how to discern my will. I want to teach you something different. I want to teach you what it really means to live in submission. And I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I mean, Amy, I knew that if I kept asking, that the Lord was like, no, I'm not going to tell you, because I'm teaching you something different. I'm teaching you what it means to submit to your husband's leadership. And I remember thinking, you know, just like the Lord prompting me, do you trust your husband? And I was like, yes. Do you trust that he walks with me? I'm like, yes. Oh my goodness. I know that he does. You know, do you trust me? The Lord saying, do you trust me? Do you trust I know what I'm really doing with your lives, even though it seems like everything is so out of your control, because everything is out of your control on every level.
By the way, you don't know it, but you don't have much control.
No, I know. You see, we all live under this illusion that we do. And then all of a sudden we come, you know, sometimes into these events in our lives when we realize we really don't. Mm-mm. And so, and I remember that just the Lord, I just feel like the Lord said, Donna, sweet girl, this is what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to drive the train. I'm driving the train. I'm just merely asking you to jump on the train I'm already driving.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay, Lord, I mean, I say that I'm a Christ follower, but that means I actually have to follow Christ. I mean, that's what that means.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, okay, I'm jumping on the train. So back to the fasting story. So, after 10 days, JP walks through the door at the end of the 10th day, and I'm standing in the kitchen making dinner, and he walks over to me and he whispers in my ear, and he said, okay, when the kids are in bed tonight, we need to talk. I said, okay. So we put the kids to bed and we sat down at this really holy place in our home, on the floor outside our laundry room. And we each had our backs up against the wall and our knees were, you know, kind of tucked up. And it was like about 11:30 at night. It was late into the night, and he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm sure that of what God wants me to do. And he said, but here's the thing. I cannot do this without you. So if you say no, we won't do this. And the interesting thing, Amy, is there was not an ounce of manipulation in his voice. It was just a sincere revelation that this was going to take both of us.
Yeah, so you were being called as a team.
We were being called as a team, and not necessarily that I would do this. Was his, you know, his path, but I needed to support his path.
Absolutely, yeah.
And because, you know, if you have two people, one of them's hesitant and not supporting the other, no matter what your path is, ministry or not, it's going to cause conflict. And so he just said, sweetheart, I can't do this without you. And if you say no, honey, I won't do it. And I was really faced at that moment with, okay, what am I going to do? What am I? I mean, this has never been a dream. This has never been a passion. You know, this is, God's asking me to do something, even though it was nothing I would have ever chosen, even though it was something I didn't really want to do, even though it was something God didn't put on my heart, even though it meant risk and change, even though it meant we might fail, even though it meant people might not understand. You know, it was this giant, Donna, are you going to do what I've called you to do? Are you going to obey me even though. And so we talked late into the night and, you know, finally it was just like, okay, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's do this thing. And it was the scariest thing I have ever done because there was so much writing on it personally. And the interesting thing, Amy, is it was so funny. We started our church a few months after that. And every Sunday I would drive up, you know, before we got to the parking lot, we met at a school, and my heart would be beating. I would just be like, Lord, let there be cars in the parking lot.
Oh,
I'm so vulnerable.
Bring the people. Yes, it's an extremely vulnerable place to start something that involves other people, especially leading other people spiritually. That's so hard.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, it was. It was just such this unbelievable place of vulnerability. And I remember the first Christmas, we started in February, and the first Christmas I drove into the parking lot, it was a Christmas Eve service, and the parking lot was jammed full. And I walked into the auditorium and I looked around and it was like, I didn't even know 9/10 of the people. And it was like, where did all these people come from? And it was just like the Lord saying to me, what if? Look at all these people. What if you had said no?
Oh my goodness.
On that normal evening in your tract house in Southern California, sitting on the floor outside your laundry room door, having a private conversation nobody on earth knew about except for you and your husband and the Lord. What if you had been too afraid? What if you'd said no?
And you have to think you could have. You could have said no,
Amy.
And think of all that you could have missed. And I just had to think how many times myself, even listeners, how many times has God put something in front of us and the fear got in the way and we've said no? What have we missed out on? That's what drives me with this whole faith thing. It's like, I want to be on that train with God. I don't want fear and anxiety to stop. And I want that for the listeners too, right?
Yes. Yes. Because it's so, this is the thing I've learned. It's like there's this great passage of scripture that, and the funny thing is I've read it a million times, but it just came to life to me during a season. And it's Hebrews 11:8. It's one little verse. And it's like one of those verses you would just read over and not even really process it. But it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And the thing that I've learned is that in the light, in our lives, there's always a call. There's always something God is prompting us to do. But the call is not the act of the faith. The call is God's part. It's, you know, he whispers in our ear, I want you to do this. The act of faith is obeying even though. And there are always for every single person an even though. And the even those are what trip us up, because the even those appeal to our need to cross every T, dot every I, be rational, be logical. And so sometimes it's the even those that make well-meaning Christians end up saying no instead of saying yes. And so, and we don't anticipate that there's going to be an even though. And so when we know, okay, there's a call, there's an obedience, but gosh, there's always an even though, I have to overcome that even though to be a person who actually lives in the reality of the faith and the journey that God uniquely has me on. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just in my personal study, just learning and just through this podcast and hearing stories and just learning that faith is not, I think we think faith a lot of times is just a belief system and just, oh, this is what I believe about God.
Yes.
But faith is a combination of what we believe about God, but what do our actions say we believe about God? And it's both of those things. Actually, what do we do about what God says and who God is? It's both of those things. And I just actually love that you pulled that verse out. That was one of the sections of scripture that I used to even start this podcast. And just thinking about those people of the faith and Abraham and Isaac and all the people of faith that did the things, even though. And yes. we can look to their stories, and we can look to your story, Donna, and we can look to so many people, other believers' stories to say, you know, if they did it even though they were scared, and they did it even though everything was on the line, then we can do that too.
Okay, that's so true. And you know what, Amy, just as I was praying about coming onto your show, I revisited the scripture, and I just noticed, just looking at it again, it says, even though he did not know where he was going. And I think so often when God's asking us to do something scary, it's scary because it's like, yeah, but Lord, I don't know where this is going. Right? But it's like God saying, well, that's okay. I'm not asking you to drive the train. You don't have to know where it's going because I'm driving the train. I'm just asking you to get on. And, you know, we may not know where we're going, but God, you know, God does. So, you know, that's the comforting part.
Absolutely. Well, Donna, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story. I'm so encouraged by the stuff that
you so much.
Overcame. And I'm sure as you look back to say it was all worth it to just do it even though.
Oh gosh. It has been the biggest privilege of my entire life. And I know I just echo the thoughts of every single person who's ever obeyed God, even though. So thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And if we want to find you online, where can we do that at?
Great question. My website is donnajones.org, and I'm on Twitter at Donna Jones Speak and on Facebook at Donna Jones Speaker and Author.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Amy. It has absolutely been my privilege.
Well, guys, I really hope that you enjoyed that. It felt so quick. It was a quick interview, but it was so jam-packed with so much stuff to take from it. I think the first thing that I really take from that is how much her and her husband really had to search out God's will. It says, the scripture says he is like a hidden treasure sometimes. And, you know, we can't expect that it'll be all laid out in our laps, what he wants us to do. Scripture says we have to ask and seek and knock, which is all action on our part. So maybe you feel that God is calling you to something, that he's doing something, or maybe you don't know what the next step. And perhaps that you do need to take the time to pray and perhaps fast and really seek him out and do the work to see what God's will is. And the second thing I took from her is that on the other side of fear and anxiety is God's plans for us. So once she knew what the thing was that God wanted her to do, that caused a lot of fear and anxiety. So they finally got the answer, but she didn't really like it that much. And the thing about God is he doesn't force us into his best. You know, he gave her the option to get on that train with him. And he asks us the questions, will you obey or will you not? And we can't really say what it would have been like if Donna had said no, but she can say that when she said yes, a huge blessing, her biggest honor, she said, was waiting on the other side. So those are my two things that I'm taking away from this is that, one, we have to really seek God out for what he wants for us. And two, that we can really overcome that fear and anxiety because God is already there. He's waiting on us on the other side of that and has a huge blessing. Not necessarily that it's going to be easy, but it's going to be good. So I hope that you can be encouraged through that. If you want to leave a comment for Donna, you can do that at featherspodcast.com. And until then, we will see you next time on Feathers.